They'll take your Bibles and turn to Acts 13. It is Missions Week at Bellevue, and only God could plan what has happened here today. It was a while back we planned these lessons, and Derek is helping me. He's going to do one more of these eight sessions. But we planned these, and I didn't even think about the fact that this would be Missions Week. But today, in Acts 13, we see the very first foreign missionary team sent out. Isn't that something? Is that cool that God did that today? And it's Missions Week. In the book of Acts, Jesus, the last thing he said before he went back to heaven is found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And I know that many of you already know that verse. But if we could put that on the screen, if that's possible. I think we've got it. There it is. The last thing Jesus said, you know, when I was a kid, David and I were just talking about back when we were kids, you went out at about 8 o'clock in the morning. You didn't come back till about 7 o'clock that night. You romped and you played and you played in ditches and you threw rocks at each other and hit each other and you roll around in the mud and you kick dogs and run and all that stuff. Had a good time, amen? I mean, didn't have to even think about, you know, playing some stupid game on a television. But anyway, we, or a computer, didn't even know what a computer was. But I can remember at the end of the day, coming back in and just thanking the Lord for my parents. And but my mother, on the way out, every morning, she would say something that she thought was the most important thing I needed to hear before I went out into Bel Air neighborhood. It might be, you know, do you want some lunch or when are you coming back or whatever? She would say something. And whatever she said was the most important thought she had that month. That's what Jesus did. He's going back to heaven. Most important thought he's got. And right before the door closes, he said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." That word "come upon you" is the same word that Gabriel used when he talked to Mary. And she said, "How can this be? How can I have a baby? I'm a virgin." "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you." How many of you know when the Holy Spirit comes on you, good things happen? Amen? Amen. Jesus now is talking. He said, "You shall receive power." And just like my mom, he said, basically saying to you, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria," and what's the last part? The whole earth. Acts 13 starts the whole earth. Acts 13 starts the mission to the world. And it is really a beautiful text. Gentiles had already been saved. A black man was the first Gentile to get saved that we know of, the Ethiopian eunuch. He was not led to the Lord by an apostle. He was led to the Lord and baptized by a deacon. What was his name? Philip. That's right. Chapter 8. And then Peter witnessed to a Roman centurion named Cornelius, who lived at Caesarea, the very first place we go every time we go to Israel. The first stop that we make is at Caesarea. It's where Paul would be in prison for 2 years. And there is where Peter led Cornelius and his household to the Lord in chapter 11. And then in chapter 11, after Deacon Stephen had been stoned to death, first Christian martyr, the Bible says that when they dispersed from Jerusalem, there were some Jews that took the gospel to some Greeks. What's that? Gentiles. Up around Antioch. We read about that in Acts 11. I want to read that. Verse 19 says, "So they then those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus, but up then to Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord." Now, if you see there, believed, they turned to the Lord. There's repentance and faith in the opposite order, faith and repentance. Those are the two requirements for salvation. You got to repent, you got to believe. They turned and they believed. Now, that's great, that's wonderful. But the masses of the Gentiles had not been reached, and no church had officially sent out missionaries to Gentiles. Nobody had. And so something happened at a prayer meeting. It's really interesting. You go into a prayer meeting just to talk with God, and before you come out of it, God's talking to you. Isn't that the way it works? You go into a prayer meeting. They went into a prayer meeting for 10 days. The Holy Ghost came down and started the church. The church was started in a prayer meeting, not a business meeting. It wasn't something, let's get together and talk about it and let's discuss it and let's get all the stuff ready. No, they were in a prayer meeting for 10 days and God came down. And guess what? They didn't go to a meeting in Acts 13 to discuss missions. They went to pray. And during their prayer meeting, God called the first missionaries. And look at me. He called the very best that the church had to give. You don't get any better than Barnabas, and you don't get any better than Paul. So let's look there and just see it. Now, verse 1, "There were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers." This is a very august group, five men. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger. You won't even believe who that is. It's going to blow your mind. I hope you're sitting on the edge of your seat till I tell you who it is. And Lucius of Cyrene and Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting. What is that? Prayer and fasting. Ministering to the Lord was prayer and fasting. The Holy Spirit said, "Set apart, sanctify for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John, that is John Mark, who wrote the first gospel that was written, Mark's gospel. I know it's second in place, but it was the first one to be written. Matthew and Luke used Mark's pattern, and that's why they call them the synoptic gospels, but Mark was the first one to write it. But right now, he's just a little hand boy for Barnabas and Paul. And the Bible says, when they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John as their helper. When they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, now they're moving from east to west, they found a magician, a Jewish false prophet, whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. It's amazing how the enemy, the devil, likes to come to leaders and sway them in his way. He was seeking to turn and the Bible says, Elymas, well, let me go back up. A Jewish prophet who was also Bar-Jesus, verse 7, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence. This man, Sergius Paulus, summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the magician, for so his name is translated, was opposing him. So Elymas was Bar-Jesus, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also known as Paul, now we finally get his Roman name. Filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed with his gaze on him and said, "You who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness." How would you like me to start my sermon like that this Sunday? "You who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you'll be blind." Paul had been blind. 3 days he was blind. "You'll be blind and you won't see the sun for a time." And immediately a mist of darkness fell upon him. He went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. And then the proconsul believed. That old boy said, "Whoa. I don't want to be blind." Then when he saw what had happened, being amazed at the teaching of the Lord. Now Paul and his companions put out to sea from Paphos. That is, they witnessed to the whole. If you look at it, they landed on the extreme east and they left on the extreme west of that. They went all over that island, man. And that's the island Barnabas was from. And came to Perga and Pamphylia, but John left them and returned to Jerusalem. All right. I got 20 minutes to tell you all this. Number one. Now look at me. I want you to see a pattern. My mother, when she was younger and I was younger and everybody was younger, she would make her own dresses. How many of you ever had a mother that used a pattern to make a dress? Anybody have that? Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. They say, "You get dresses down there at the store down there, you know?" No, you made them back then, and they had a pattern. They'd lay it out, and they'd cut the fabric and all that. Well, I want to give you a pattern for ministry, and I want to say this to you. The reason some ministries do well is because they follow God's pattern. The reason some ministries don't do well is because they don't follow God's pattern. You follow the pattern, you get a good dress. You don't follow the pattern, you mess up. And God's got a pattern, and your way is not better than God's way. Okay? All right, Number one, we minister to the Lord in prayer. That's where it starts. We minister to the Lord in prayer. Say that with me. We minister to the Lord in prayer. Very quickly, look at verses 1 and 2. "Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch." You're not going to believe who Herod the Tetrarch is either. Not only are you not going to believe who Simeon who was called Niger is, you're not going to believe who Herod the Tetrarch was, and Saul. So there's five of them. And they're just talking to the Lord, worshiping God, saying, "The sun comes up, it's a new day dawn." They're just singing, giving glory to God. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Ghost said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called." Isn't that fantastic? They had some great leaders here. Let me tell you about them, okay? Barnabas, not a bad guy, sold a lot of his property, gave it all to the Lord, left the apostles distributed to whoever was in need, took in Saul at Jerusalem when everybody else thought he was a fake. He was one of the finest, most, and that's who we're studying this spring. Barnabas, the guy that got Paul into the church, Barnabas, the encourager, Barnabas, always encouraging. And so here he is. He's the first one named, all right? And then there's Simeon, who was called Niger. That means he was a black man. And this guy was the guy that carried Jesus' cross when Jesus fell down. He said, "Where in the world do you get that?" Out of the Bible. Mark chapter 15, verse 21. "They pressed into service a passerby coming from the country, Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross." Almost all the early church fathers agree that's the same man that was one of the prophets with Paul. Can you imagine that? Now, he picked up that cross lost. I got a feeling before he left that hill that day, he got saved. Amen? And now he's a prophet. That'd be a pretty good Sunday school teacher. That'd be a pretty good person to have on a committee, wouldn't it? What are your credentials? I carried the cross of Jesus. Oh, excuse me. And he was a black man. There's an interracial thing going on here. Amen? How many of you know that the church is not white and it's not black? It's for everybody. Amen? It's for everybody. It's for everybody. And then there's Rufus, his son, Alexander and Rufus, it said. And Paul talks about him in Romans 16, 13. He said, greet Rufus. He's talking about Simon's son, a choice man of God, also his mother and mine. Paul got so close to this family, he said, they're like my family. Thus, Saul and Paul and Rufus and all the two of the five. Okay, now let's get on to the third. Lucius of Cyrene. This is not Luke. That's all we know. It's not Luke. And we don't know anything else about him, but I'm sure he's a great guy, or he wouldn't be in with this bunch, all right? But Manine, let's talk about him. Who had been there, brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. Who in the world is Herod the Tetrarch? Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas, the son of Herod the Great. Herod the Great had had the children at Bethlehem killed. Herod of Antipas had a brother named Philip. And Herod Antipas went and committed adultery with his brother's wife and then stole her away from him and came over here. And John the Baptist knocked on the door and said, hey, it's wrong for you to have your brother's wife. And he said, oh, come in here, preacher, and throws him in jail. This is the guy that threw John the Baptist in jail and ultimately beheaded him. And Manaen grew up with this guy. Manaen now is a prophet. He is a teacher. And then this other guy, and this other guy is also the one that Pontius Pilate sent Jesus to when he found out that Jesus was from Galilee. Who's over Galilee? Who is the leader over Galilee? It's Antipas. Herod Antipas. And so Jesus went to Herod Antipas and didn't say a word. He knew the guy was such a snake in the grass. He didn't even bother about it. And the guy, Herod Antipas, questioned him and everything else. And Jesus never said a word. And he mocked him. The Bible says, I'll read it to you in Luke 23, 11. Herod, with his soldiers, after treating Jesus with contempt and mocking him, dressed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate. And the Bible says, Pilate and Herod became great friends that day because they hated Jesus. Now, isn't that a great way to get a friend? Let's all get together. Everybody hates Jesus. We'll just be buddy buddies. Well, you're going to be in hell if you do. Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod. Can you even imagine? Can you even imagine that guy being brought up with the guy that mocked Jesus and killed John the Baptist? Blows your mind. Well, that fires me up. All right. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said to them, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. They were ministering to the Lord and they were fasting. Now, how many of you are reading through the Old Testament right now? Anybody? Look at me. Keep going forward. You will make it through Leviticus. You will get out of that stuff that says don't eat sausage. You just keep going, man. Just keep going. How many of you know there's some good stuff in there? Amen? That's good. So just don't worry. And get through Numbers. You know, Coombs used to be an accountant. He said, I like Numbers. He said, God made him the whole book after Numbers. He said, I like Numbers. So I'm glad he likes Numbers because he's over our numbers. All right. But just keep pushing through. And in the Old Testament, it talked about the priest would minister to the Lord, right? How? Offering sacrifices. Listen to this. 2 Chronicles 29, 11. Judah's king, Hezekiah, is telling the Jewish priests and Levites, hey, stick with the stuff. He said, my sons, don't be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, what? To minister to him. Now, we don't even think about that. We don't even think about ministering to the Lord. But listen, this is as old as the Old Testament. You minister to the Lord by sacrificing on the altar. You minister to the Lord in prayer. You minister to the Lord burning incense in the Old Testament. And that's how they prayed. And they would pray while they did that. Second Chronicles 31:2, and Hezekiah appointed the divisions of the priests and the Levites by their divisions, each according to his service, both the priests and the Levites, for burnt offerings and for peace offerings, to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the camp of the Lord. Let me tell you something. When you pray, you are ministering to the Lord. When you fast, you are ministering to the Lord. We don't even, you know, what you say, me? Yes, you. You're a priest. Jesus has made us priest unto him. We don't have to go through a pope, praise God, to get to God. We don't have to go through some priest to get to God. We are priests. We go through our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are priests, and we have incense to burn at the altar, if you will. It's called our prayers. And you said, don't connect the two. Well, God did in Revelation 5, verse 8, when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, that's Jesus, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are, go ahead and read it out loud, the prayers of the saints. So yeah, your prayers are important. You know what? Some of y'all socking money away so that you'll have plenty of money to retire on. I tell you what you need to sock away. You need to sock away some prayers up in heaven. You need to store up treasures in heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 6, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys. Thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I can't tell you how important it is to pray. Are you praying? Are you fasting? Do you ever fast? We're giving you 12 opportunities to do it this year. Do it the third of every month. Oh, I can't make it. Yeah, you can. Well, I'm on medication. Okay. Then, you know, eat just barely enough to take your medicine, and then don't eat. Just eat one meal then. That's fine. Oh, I can't make it. Don't be a wimp. Yes, you can. It's time to man up. Amen? I mean, the devil's hitting, he's taking the gloves off, and he's fist fighting. We can't even go without a meal. Good night, nurse. What has happened to us? Fast and pray. Seek God. I don't understand it, but God likes it when you minister to him. It's just you and him, and you're ministering to the Lord. Man. That's where it starts. Now, number two, the Lord ministers then to us in the Spirit. Now, look. Well, I'm going to save that for the last. Okay, look at verse 2 very quick. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Then when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. They sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, not the church, but the Holy Spirit. It was the church, but it was through the Holy Spirit. They went down to Seleucia. What is that? That's the little place where you embark away from the Holy Land and you go out to the island called Cyprus. And from there they sail to Cyprus. When they talk to God, God talked to them. Some of y'all say, I don't understand. I hear these people talking about God talking to them. He never talks to me. Could it be that's because you don't really talk to him? God is a talker, and he talks to people that talk to him. It's all over the Bible. I could give you 20 illustrations just like that. When you speak to God, God speaks to you. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. Say that with me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. When you go to Israel, you see shepherds out there in the field. There's one spot we go to. There's just multiple shepherds, or sheep and shepherds, as far as you can go. And I've seen it happen like 2 times. They get up, one of them's ready to go, and it looked like 500 sheep out there, 10 or 15 shepherds. One of them will go, and all I can talk is like they did back with Fred Flintstone, yabba dabba doo. I can't understand what they're saying, all right? They're speaking in some language. I don't know what it is, so I'll say yabba dabba doo. Okay, so they say yabba dabba doo, and all of a sudden, about a tenth of those sheep will come out, and they'll follow that shepherd off. My sheep hear my voice. They don't follow some other shepherd. He could even say yabba dabba doo. But they don't care because he's not their shepherd. They know his voice. They know his voice. Let me tell you, the most precious voice you'll ever hear is not anybody in your family. The most precious voice you'll ever hear is the Spirit of the living God. And don't tell me he doesn't talk. He's talking to some of you right now. That inner prompting. When we minister to the Lord in prayer, he ministers to us by speaking to us through the Holy Spirit. Acts 8:29, the Spirit said to Philip. Acts 10:19-20. While Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him. Acts 16:6-7. They passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. After they came to Mysia, they were trying to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. Those inner promptings. God speaks to you through the inner promptings of the Holy Spirit. You will have this overwhelming desire to pray for somebody. Go ahead and do it. That's the Spirit of God. You'll have this overwhelming desire to witness to somebody. Go ahead and do it. That's the Holy Spirit. You'll have this overwhelming desire to give somebody something. Go ahead and give it before you talk yourself out of it. Amen. We don't need most of the junk we've got anyway. Amen? Amen. If you think you do, you've lost your mind, because your kids are going to give it away real quick once you die. I won't tell you that. You say, you're just blessing us so much today. Thank you for all this encouraging stuff. Well, you need to get a life. You need to understand the way things work. Give as much away as you can before you die. But I'll tell you another way God speaks to you through the Holy Spirit is through Scripture. And that's the main way. All Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, is inspired by God. God breathed and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So, I minister to the Lord in prayer. He ministers to me with the Holy Spirit. Now I'm ready to go minister to people. Do you see what people are doing? What people are doing is I'm just going to go minister to people. I'm not going to pray. I don't need God. God, I got this. How many of you know that you don't got this? Amen? That's bad English, good theology. You don't have anything. You can't even get dressed without the Lord. You can't walk across the room without God. You sure can't minister on his behalf without the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Whatever you do that's not of the Holy Spirit is going to be burned up at the judgment seat. It is nothing. You've got to pray, and with prayer, God ministers to you. When you minister to him, he ministers to you with the Holy Spirit. And then when you go minister to people, wow, you got something then. Watch how powerful this is. And I know I have 3 minutes. I get it. I'm going. We minister to others with God's power. We have to do God's work, God's way. We have to minister to him in prayer, then he ministers us with the Holy Spirit, and then we minister to others with God's power. How do we do that? We minister with a saving proclamation. These guys got on that island, and they started telling people about Jesus. Look at verse 5. When they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they also had John as their helper. They were telling people about Jesus. They were full of the Holy Spirit, and they moved out. Another thing they did is we minister also with spiritual power. We've got the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I'm not going to read all of chapter verses 6 through 12 again, but you can read it. They walk in there, and there's the head dude. He is representing Rome on this whole island, and there's a demonized man right by him trying to keep these people away, and this guy tries to stop Saul, and all of a sudden he comes out, and he said, oh, by the way, I'm Paul. I'm a Roman citizen, and besides that, I'm a citizen of heaven. I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus. You're going to be blind. Get out of the way. And this guy starts walking off muffled up. He's all blind and everything. He can't do anything back. How many of you know that God's more powerful than the devil? Amen? And so all of a sudden, the political leader, and I hear you out there saying, now don't get all this political. Listen to me. They led the political guy to the Lord. Amen. How many of you know that God can do anything? Amen? I'm praying for God to save a bunch of those folks up in Washington. Amen? Amen. Amen. Don't tell me it couldn't happen. I think the reason something like this is not happening is not because God doesn't want it to happen. It's because we're not ministering to the Lord. And so he's not ministering to us, and we can't go out and minister with real power. Real power. I'm talking about the stuff that chases devils away. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the real power of God, the real Christianity. We minister with spiritual power, and then we minister with steadfast persistence. Look at verse 13. Now, Paul and his companions put out to sea. They got through. They attained the gospel all the way across the whole island. And I mean, they went to every synagogue. I want to tell you something. I just got to tell you. I know some guys nowadays in the ministry, they preach once a week, one sermon a week. I want to be real careful. I don't want to put anybody down. And they preach about 30 sermons a year. And it's exhausting to them. John Wesley preached about 5 or 6 a day, riding on a horse. I told somebody one time, true, he rode 250,000 miles on a horse. I had a deacon. That deacon just died just a few months ago. That deacon said, that was some horse. I've told y'all that so many times, and I appreciate you laughing again. Thank you. We're a bunch of wimps is what we are. Isn't that right? Everybody just say, I'm a wimp. I'm a wimp. I mean, John Wesley would sleep on floors in a barn, get up and preach at 5 o'clock. They were preaching at 5 o'clock in the morning, and thousands would come hear them because God was doing something. You get the Holy Ghost on you, you get the anointing of God on you through prayer, and people will come at 5 o'clock in the morning to hear you preach before they go to work. Amen. Don't tell me God can't do it. Don't tell me those days are over. I've heard that all my life. Well, that's the way you used to be. You know what? The only reason it's not that way now is we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. But Paul, he got through that island. He said, you know what? I kind of like this. Let's go take on this big area right up here. He goes up there, and right at the middle, there's this mountain going straight up, and John Mark bails on him. He goes back to Mama, back in Jerusalem. Maybe he was mad because his relative Barnabas was no longer in charge. Notice what it says. Now, Paul and his companions, up to that point, it was always Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul. Now, Paul's in charge. He just got hold of that guy, that demonized guy down there, and just tore him all to pieces, and all of a sudden now he's in charge. And Barnabas doesn't care. Isn't that great about Barnabas? He doesn't care. He's not mad. But maybe his relative got mad on his behalf. We don't know. I don't know what the deal is, but he bails out. But how many of you know that even when listen to me. I want you to say, I'll be through. I know I've gone over, but look at me. I think some of you think that you're the only ones going through tough times. How many of you right now, it's a tough time spiritually for you? Raise your hand. I got my hand up. Anybody out there? Raise them up high. Go on and be proud of it. Amen. Do you understand? Most people are going through struggles. Most people are going through a hard time. You got to have some stick-to-itiveness. I don't even know if that's a word, but I've heard it all my life. You got to have some stick to it, Steve. Okay, I can't spell it, but I'll do it. Amen. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit reading your Bible. Don't quit praying. Don't quit witnessing. Don't quit going to church. Don't quit tithing. Don't quit doing what God, don't quit living for God. Don't quit. Don't be a quitter. Man up. And be a man of God. Now, does it sound like I'm talking to myself today? I am. How many of you know that the preacher can preach to himself? Amen? So I'm going to keep praying. Y'all do what you want to do. I'm going to keep praying. And that's not just for preachers, by the way. That's for everybody. Because I need the Holy Spirit. And then I want to minister to Him so He'll minister to me so I can minister to people with power. And that's the way the world gets changed. Amen? Amen. Let's thank God for His pattern for ministry. Amen? Amen. All right. I owe you 4 minutes. I'll give it to you, and they'll lead singing 4 minutes shorter next time, all right? So, yeah. Father, we love You. Thank You for these precious men. Help us to minister to You so You can minister to us through the Spirit so we can minister to others with power. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Thank you for being here.